Hey there, everyone. Welcome back. Today, I have with me Sean Smith, who is, I don't know if your title is technically co-founder, but he's one of the Smith brothers that runs Simple Tiger, which is a remote digital marketing agency. Sean actually just moved to North Carolina with his wife. His brother Jeremiah founded the company about 8 years ago and lives down in Florida. So I've been connected up with the Simple Tiger guys, with Sean and Jeremiah, for a while. They've been a fantastic partner for Credo, and Sean is a super smart marketer. And I'm really stoked with what we're going to talk about today. But Sean, why don't you tell us, just give us a quick background to yourself and tell us a little bit more about Simple Tiger and kind of what you focus on.
Yeah, so as you said, I'm one of the co-owners of Simple Tiger. I grew up doing SEO from the time I was 15 for all sorts of different kind of companies, and me and Jeremiah put our kind of clients together and then started actually growing Simple Tiger, like legitimately about a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. It's been a pretty wild ride ever since. We're up to about 10 employees. And just having a lot of fun with it, working with some clients that we were huge fans of before and have had been very humbled by some of the projects we've gotten to work with. So having a lot of fun there. We do our whole motto is simply effective marketing. We want to make sure that we're doing the 20% that yields 80% of the results, that we are simplifying it so that there's just so much noise out there that's really tough to get to at what actually makes sense and what actually affects change in your search engine optimization. And so that's what we try to focus on, is simply effective marketing, simplifying that conversation, making sure it makes sense, and then working on what actually tangibly lands the results. So that's pretty much our ethos.
Love it. Love it. Yeah. And so today we wanted to talk about, we were talking about before we got on here, about basically at the end of the day, startup content marketing. And so you were talking about how you've worked with a bunch of e-commerce sites and startups and such recently. They might not be huge websites, right? If it's a B2B SaaS company, they typically have like 10 pages or something like that, but they might be blogging and creating content and all that sort of thing. And but you said that you've noticed a trend recently. What was that trend?
Yeah, so one of the trends that we've been noticing recently with a lot of these newer sites that m actually might even be pretty well established, but that are having problems ranking, that come to us for that guidance, is really that they don't know how to optimize either their content structure of their website or their link architecture of their website. And actually, the two interplay a lot. And so something that we've really noticed is that they will either not have the right content for us to optimize and for users to latch onto and to actually get to rank, or they won't have, they will be kind of taking a very shotgun approach to linking to that kind of content. And they won't have any kind of real direction and specific route that they think the customers should take to get to that content. And thus, Google is not taking that route, and they're not prioritizing it properly. And that leads them to just being not really being able to rank as high as their competitors
Yeah,
and things
yeah.
like that. So.
So let's take a step back. So if we're talking about like a B2B SaaS company, like a Credo or someone like that, right? Where there's obviously there's or just a straight like SaaS software tool. There's obviously they want people to convert, right? But there are people at different levels in the funnel. So how do you just start off balancing the, these are conversion-oriented pages. This is like what we do and who we do it for. And I'm sure you guys do some of that as well, right? Who are your personas
Definitely.
and content management for realtors or whatever, like targeting those different personas. But then on you're more talking about like the it sounds like the editorial content side, right? Or are you talking about like an e-commerce world
Both,
where it's like
actually.
products? Okay.
Yeah, both actually. I mean, from a products level, categories level, down to even the industries that, say, like a software as a service company might be trying to appeal to a few different personas, and they might be like different industries that they might be trying to talk to, but they have no real page that actually optimizes for those industries. They're not talking to those industries directly, basically, because they have no content to actually do so. They might be through blog content, which is still good, and that's important. And that needs to be optimized properly as well. But actually in legitimate like landing pages essentially on their site, but that are actually just normal pages on their site, but they're just not optimizing those properly or not even utilizing them at all.
Tell me more about that. I mean, you gave me like an e-commerce example before we got on.
So one example that I really like to always point to as a good example of how to do it properly is Square, which is pretty interesting to me. If you actually go to like Square's website and scroll down the page, you will see that they have these different industries laid out that are very specific, and they are very well keyword optimized. So you'll see like they have point of sale systems for barbershops. They have point of sale systems for general retail. They have point of sales systems for whatever it may be, health food stores, et cetera, that are very specific, and they're kind of targeting towards their personas that they know actually utilize their services. And they have what they do is they have it on their homepage. You get to the bottom, there's a navigational structure right there where they link off to all the different pages that really make sense for their different personas. And then whenever you click on any of them, they are very well optimized for that specific audience. So they kind of get to the core with imagery and with the written content and what their concerns are for each of those different kind of clients for those different personas. And then they pretty much loop in the conversion at the bottom. So not only is that a good way to get more traffic, but it's more a better way to get higher intent traffic that is more likely to convert, that is already looking for that specific use case.
And you kind of split up those you kind of, yeah, you funnel people down in so they land on the homepage, right? Like a lot of business owners have heard of Square, right? And so they can go from, and Square is different from, like, well, I guess Stripe has like a card reader now as well, but and I hadn't really thought about those two actually being competitors until just now. But Square, yeah, they, you know, they land on the homepage and they're like, oh yeah, I'm an e-commerce shop. Like, I didn't know I could use Square for e-commerce, right? And they get on down into that, like, directly from the homepage, and there's stuff down the footer. And yeah, I guess that makes sense for like e-commerce as well. Or I mean, I even do this on Credo, right? Where like I start people just on like the, you know, SEO companies page, and then they can go to like SEO consultants or SEO agencies. They can also start on like real estate and then go to like, actually, I need SEO for real estate, right? So they can get to that page. And I want to work with a consultant, not an agency, and get to that page.
And
And
it's funny
follow
that
you
you
down.
actually mentioned Stripe, because we actually have a client that is a card reader for Stripe,
Oh, cool.
and we
Like a physical
actually got
product.
them, and yeah, and they actually utilized that exact strategy and basically what in a similar way to what Square was using, but for them and for their personas, and it worked really well so far. So, and they were very small. Whenever they started with us, they were a one-page website, and they could target their overall keyword, but they had no way of targeting more long-tail keywords and more high-intent keywords that are like that. And so, by doing that, you open up many different opportunities to get just more consistent traffic from different areas.
So at what point do you think a business should really think about doing, you know, building out this sort of architecture, right? If you're like, I mean, you know, when you're just starting off, like you're just trying, you know, trying just not let your company die, right? It's kind of like when you have a puppy, you're like, I just got to keep him alive for 6 months, and then like, and then we're good to go, right? Or like, okay, I don't have any kids, you don't have kids, but like, you know, I imagine my sister-in-law just had a kid. Like, I imagine it's the same thing. Same thing with a business where you're like, I just can't let this thing die, right? And eventually you get further down the road, and you know, mine's been going for almost 2 years, and I finally was like, okay, this is the information that I have, the data that I have, this is what people are searching for. But I could have done the research, but I wouldn't have had like the product or the inventory, right? People on the platform to really make use of that in the future. So how do you think about that?
I think that there are a few different things that you really said that are really interesting to me. I think that the first is that you have to keep it alive. It is more of an investment over time because these pages aren't going to rank initially. You're going to build them, and then they are going to need love and nurturing, essentially, in the same way
You
that
gotta feed them.
a baby would need. But you're going to actually have to either build links to them or just give it time for them to acquire links. And you're going to have to be writing content either on your blog or publishing it somewhere else, that utilizes this content and actually kind of spreads it and makes it a little bit more promotional to people. You can use social ads to kind of make that get boosted really quickly, and that's something that I really recommend because they're high impression, for a low cost. And then if you target them well enough, which you can get super creepy with targeting and
Hyper-targeted,
social ads, you can make them very effective as far as the traffic that you do, even though you're getting a large amount of traffic that isn't as high intent probably as like Google ads. However, with that, there is the other thing you said, which is the data side of it. So you have to actually know what ones are actually important to you. You actually have to know, and that comes the easiest through seeing what customers are already utilizing it. I think that something at Square's side, they have just an insane amount of data that they can see. You know, you have 100,000 people who are using it in this way, and you have 50,000 who are using it in this way and whatnot. So with that, there's a lot of data that they could utilize for that. I would say that you should be doing a bit of keyword research around that and just figuring out what the opportunities are around your, you know, you could look into competitors in the space if you have any, which most likely do. Even companies that say that they don't, they
They do.
actually do, and it's in some different form, maybe not exactly like what they're doing specifically, but you can kind of utilize the old ways of maybe doing what you did, and see what kind of competitors were doing then and what personas they were going after. Figure that out, get an idea of it. I would say you should go after it before you're necessarily ready, because if you're ready for it and then you do it, you're going to be starving for it by the time it actually kicks in. So I would say doing it before you're really ready, is it sounds weird, but that's actually the best strategy to go for, is that you should do it when you have kind of enough data around the customers that you already have, coupled with some keyword research, some competitive analysis, and then coupling all of that together. And trying to push those out. And that comes down, I would say that comes down to the link architecture is just really, that's pretty straightforward after you know the content and the keyword targeting. The link architecture, you just want to make sure you're not just sending out 200 links from the homepage and to every single corner of your website all at once. You want to make sure that you're prioritizing the most important things in your top navigation that are actually going to give you conversions and revenue. And then, you know, the content's the hardest part because you just have to get that right. And it doesn't mean that that's not subject to change. You might add a persona or two every couple months or something like that.
It's not
I would definitely
static.
start with something, though. So I would start with a couple or a few, at least use cases. I think personally that like the whole single page website trend has been the worst thing for SEO, but also one of the best things for SEO as far as like people who come in and expect that a one page website is going to rank extremely well for everything that they need, gives people who are well optimized a good opportunity. But also, people who come in thinking their one page website is going to rank, really gives SEOs a good opportunity because they actually have work to
So by one page website, do you mean like literally it's like one landing page, or do you mean like an Angular.js sort of implementation, like a PWA?
Kind of both, honestly. I think that we get a ton of software companies that come into us that have single page websites, and I mean legitimate single page websites,
One page.
that are like, how do we make this optimized and how do we rank? And so we're like, well, you get off the one page architecture and you actually build out some other pages to actually optimize. So sorry about that. The dogs are going crazy, but it's the
You
remote
kept him
work life.
alive.
Yeah, kept them alive, that's for sure. But they you know, they want to have this one page website because it looks really good, but I mean you can get the same effect with a multi-page website. And I think that that is kind of a crux that people fall into that they don't really realize is negatively affecting them as far as like page optimization and stuff like that goes. You can still have a blog on a one page website and you can push people off to a blog and you can optimize that with content, which is still pretty good. But it's not the best of both
But
worlds, I think.
different intent and all of that as well.
Exactly.
Higher traffic but lower conversion, and
Exactly.
and then that involves more full funnel Facebook Facebook Pixel retargeting ads, which so many companies are not doing. I'm like, why not? You get clicks for like 2 cents.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, so that's interesting. So how do you, I'm sure you've run into, because I've run into, and you work with a lot more like tech companies than I do. I just talked to other founders, but there are a lot of people, there are a lot of these like design first companies, right? And I think we could talk forever about like what like part of the company kind of owns the, like gets the final say, right? There's like dev companies and marketing companies and business companies and design companies, right? So often people will be like, well, that's gonna, screw with our design, right? Or like that's gonna change our user flow, right? So like, why should we, do these SEO things, right? Why should we SEO our websites? Which, if you're watching this and you say that, don't say that anymore. How do you, SEO is a long-term thing. How do you make that, like, where do you take that discussion? Because I've heard that a lot.
Yeah, it's a fun topic. I think I learned that really early on in my career because I was working, my first job was at an agency that was a design agency primarily, and
I remember
they
that.
had a tiny marketing segment of the business that actually grew to be a pretty big marketing segment by the time I left. But I think a key point and memory for me was whenever I was trying to like ram home SEO best practices on certain things, and the designers and developers thought that I was trying to just gimmick their sites up, and that it
Doing
wasn't
tricks.
exactly, and it wasn't, they said that it wasn't what the users wanted and stuff like that, and so really, my frustration kicked in there around, I knew what the users wanted because I had user data and I had keyword data. And it's a fine balance between what is what are people aesthetically going to be pleased by and what are people actually going to be able to see. And then bringing that together to where it's the best of both worlds so that you can make the aesthetics look beautiful. Like I care a lot about design. I'm a design geek, and
You tell
so
that from
I
your apartment.
the Daft Punk and
That's
no, yeah.
right.
Anyway,
Doing it
so
right.
but so they have, I wrote this whole article actually about this, that there was this whole point that I had to really earn their trust along the lines of I wanted to make sure that the thing that they were so prideful about that they were designing and putting all their time into and their emotion into to make look beautiful and be what they wanted it to be, I wanted it to actually be seen. And I was like, do you actually want this to have the result that the client needs, which is to make revenue? And so I think that it doesn't need to be like the buck stops with X person. I think that needs to be for the either owner of the company or the project manager itself to decide
Or the
where
team of
the,
directors,
yeah, wh where the, yeah, whatever the role may be that's handling the overall project and the scope of the project, they need to be able to have that call. But I really think that it needs to be a marriage between the designers and the developers and the engine and the marketers to
Totally.
really see this is the goal. From a design perspective, this is what we w want to make happen. This we
This is
need
how our
X
design is
things.
going to help us for reach that goal.
Right. And then this is, these are the technical limitations from the engineering department. And then these are the things that we need to implement to actually make it be seen from a marketing perspective. So with all of those in mind and nobody taking just a huge egoed out role in that, I think that you can really reach a very good common ground. We have had client like projects where we come in and the client is really concerned about that side of things, and we have to lay that notion to rest that we're just going to try to pound through things that are just bad looking just from an optimization standpoint. I think that that's just a completely bad way of looking at it. If you actually look through like the square site in that example too, it is beautifully designed. Has a great amount of copy that is well designed as well. The typography really plays well. Yet it has a good bit of copy that search engines can latch onto as well. And it's from a
And
technical
users.
perspective. Yeah, exactly. And users. And from a technical perspective, it's very well set up. It's very well structured. And the marketing, the actual targeting from the marketing department was spot on. So I think that that is a perfect marriage, like shown right there.
Totally. And it goes
So.
back to that. I mean, we kind of hinted at it, but I think it's important, as like, and hopefully there are a lot of like, business owners and, and such watching this, that, it's not necessarily like, okay, how do we SEO our website? How do we design our website? But it's like, what's the goal of our, like, of our company? Like, why are we, actually building this thing? At the end of the
Yeah,
day,
exactly.
e-commerce, you're building, I mean, yeah, you're building to make money, but also like to sell, to sell products and to, help people find the right products to do whatever they're trying to do.
Right.
And so like, that's where the buck stops. It's like, if this isn't going to get us closer to that, then we're
Then
not
why
going
are
to
we
do
even doing
it,
this?
right? Then why are you even doing this? But then also, it's like there are so many different, like, I've learned this in building a company, you've learned this in building a company. There's the development side, there's the design side, there's the content side, there's the marketing side, like there's the business model side. Like, there are all of these different parts that have to play in together. And it's really like, I've started talking about it as a conversation. As opposed to like, all right, like SEO guy, do your SEO things, and designer person, do your design things, make it look pretty, right? But it's like, actually, how do we meet all of these different goals? Like, there are five different goals within that that then go up to this one top goal of, getting more customers, getting more of the customers that you get to buy, all of those things.
And honestly, in designing my own site or designing our own site, internally, we've run into that problem ourselves multiple times where we've thought, well, this is well targeted from a keyword standpoint or just in general, but it just doesn't look right or it doesn't feel right. And so we'll break it from a marketing perspective to make it look right, but then we notice that our leads start going down, and it's like, well, that's not exactly right. So we need to adjust it a little bit to make it look better, but also perform the function that it's actually there for.
Totally.
So,
Totally.
yeah,
Yeah, I think that's, I've definitely found that, and useful that you get outside of, yeah, I mean, you can launch a page that is like, SEO for startups or something like that, but if the person that's looking for, for that, like a director of marketing at a startup, they don't know anything about SEO, and you're just like direct conversion oriented, and you're not teaching them anything, what are you doing? Or like, in my case, it's like, if I don't allow them to filter, off a page, like, I actually removed filters from a lot of my category pages a few weeks ago, and just today I was trying to find something and was like, man, I really wish I still had filters on here, right? So like, from the user perspective, it's like, that really matters. I'm gonna add it back in.
Some of those things you don't really realize are very important that actually are. And so I think that you need to back a lot of that with the user data as well, which we do multiple different things to do from a CRO perspective, that I think really help, that should be coupled. I think that that really, that's a good point as well, that after you get, or maybe even simultaneously to while you're producing these kind of pages, like that you need to optimize and that could be focusing on these different personas and stuff like that, and you're putting them in the right navigation and everything. You really need to actually do some really good user testing and figure out how they're converting, where people are stopping, and do your research into what the personas actually care about
Definitely.
specifically. So like if they're going to respond very well to social proof and stuff like that, which usually always happens, it's really important to have that on there. You don't want to, especially in our case, when they're going to be signing many $1,000 contracts, to not have any kind of results shown or
Totally.
like any kind of past experience with other clients on there. That would just have people like, I don't know.
Totally.
Like, you
Totally.
know, so.
Well, and I think
That's
that the
something
search
we
engines have
emphasize a
also
lot.
kind of given people that do SEO a gift in that, like, we're seeing very positive correlations between time spent on the site, stickiness of the site, with rankings as well. So like, it's kind of all coming in, and people will debate that all day, and I'm not interested in having that debate because the numbers say it is. And so like, it's making us be like more holistic in, marketing and building businesses.
Right. And that comes down to even small things like something that we've ran into recently where clients read that meta descriptions don't affect your SEO rankings, so they don't even pay attention to them, and they just have a bunch of duplicates, or they don't even have any, and then that's just being pulled in programmatically from Google, and they're really crappy. And so they're not getting the click-throughs that they need, and thus Google doesn't see that people are clicking on their leads or their links instead of other people's links. Totally. They don't think that their pages is qualified, and so they're not ranking them as high. And so even though this thing doesn't have a direct ranking factor correlation as far as keywords goes, it does have a direct keyword ranking factor as far as when are people actually clicking on it, and what is the use case that, or like what, how are users actually reacting to it? Totally. If they're not reacting to it, then sure, Google doesn't want to show that. They don't want to show a bad impression. They want to show only the best impressions as far as what people are actually interested in. So, I think that it's really dangerous that there is a ton of information out there that, people act like is so like black and white, and I don't mean like black hat or white hat. I mean, just like there's so much gray area as far as what the actual effect of certain things comes down to. And that's one of those cases where it's like there's an actual direct conversion oriented effect that happens there that actually turns into rankings. Totally. And so it shouldn't just be so easily negated as something that they shouldn't pay attention to. And so much content out there actually does say stuff like that. Yep. So it's, so that is something that, like, to our company ethos, again, is like something that we really want to simplify and make sure people understand, and to bring in the right information. I would say like 80% of our job is education around that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, to the most part, like we can fix somebody's site, but if they don't understand what we fixed and they just break it the next month anyways, what does it matter?
Totally, So where do you, let's start to wrap this thing up. Where do you go to, I mean, there's a lot of content out there that isn't, you know, it was maybe relevant 5 years ago, right? But like, where do you go now for like this sort of, you know, this sort of content to read more about this, other than your own blog, of course?
Yeah, I would say to your blog first and foremost, obviously, because you've been there and done that, and also work with a bunch of different businesses and agencies from a high level that work with other businesses as well. So you have a ton of information that people wouldn't really be easily able to get that you share really well. I would say that, some of the other ones that I used to read hundreds of different blogs. Like I remember I used to have a list of just a ton, and now it's come down to just a couple really, where I'll read Moz a lot, and keep up to date with, the information that's there. And I don't take it all as gospel either. I think that that's really important, that you should be approaching everything with a why and testers kind of mindset as far as that kind of stuff goes, because at the same time, as I say that, that whole ranking factor thing, you know, Moz releases ranking factor, surveys every year. And, you know, with that not being one of them, essentially, that could be misconstrued. So, I think that, you know, I'm honestly, this might sound weird, but I'm consuming a lot less SEO content these days, and consuming a lot and consuming a lot more just leadership and, kind of, entrepreneurship and business specific kind of, content that is a lot more oriented at like what businesses specifically need to grow, and then relaying that into what I know that we can do from an SEO perspective. Totally. I definitely think that it's still extremely important to keep up on your technical like chops and your capabilities as far as SEO goes. So we're definitely doing that. And I have employees that are much better at SEO than I am. I would say, that's kind of what I've been consuming more and more. So things like Tim Ferriss's blogs and podcasts and stuff like that are always something that I'd pay a lot of attention to. Been listening to a lot more podcasts lately, like Hack the Entrepreneur and stuff like that, which I actually was just recently on. Hopefully that should be published sometime soon, which will be pretty cool. But nice. Some of those kind of things that I just get a lot of value from, hearing specifically from the actual customers that I would be going after too, and hearing their concerns specifically. So like I listen to a lot of different like software as a service podcasts because they're a huge client chunk of ours. Read a lot of stuff about just e-commerce struggles in general, because that's our other biggest probably client persona. So getting really well acquainted to exactly the needs of those different segments, that's something that I've been paying attention to a lot recently.
Awesome. And where can people find you online if they want to learn more
Yeah, so
about
they
this or check out Simple Tiger?
yeah, so you can reach us at simpletiger.com, as well as follow us on Twitter for sure at Simple Tiger. We've been getting really active on Twitter. We actually have a video series that we're probably going to be, well, we already announced it, but we're probably going to be pushing it out sometime soon. We're trying to get a lot of video backlog going, and so that'll be really cool. There with Jeremiah, my brother, and the founder of the company, is he's the host of it, and he's really charismatic and all over the place too with his movements, so they're entertaining. But for me personally, at SM or at SNSMTH on Twitter,
Sean Smith without the
basically my
vowels.
name without the vowels. Yeah,
Great.
so edgy, but anyways,
And I love it. Awesome.
that's me.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you for being on. I appreciate it. And
All right.
we'll speak to you soon.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Have a
Bye.
good one.